Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 240, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. So close to 420, but, you know, out of order. Anyway, happy season 240 to you, listener. And also you, as yet unintroduced co-host. People are on the edge of their seat. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, June 7th, 2022, which of course means that it is
National VCR Day. Yes. Shout out the video cassette recorder.
Bang.
Video, whatever. Isn't that what VCR standing for?
Yeah, video cassette recorder.
Yeah, boom.
And when I looked up, because I did a little advanced research, I went to the website that I believe you used to find this stuff out. Slick son of a bitch.
Conniving fucker. That's my job.
And the description was like all about how like it was just something that people used to record things off of TVs. And then they talked about like the follow-up where like there's VCR collections, but... It seemed like I'm always looking for the sponsor behind these national days. And I think this national day is brought to you by the people who digitize like old home video recordings, would be my guess.
I mean, yeah, because when you go to how to observe, it's like, and check out this website to digitize your memories.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, well, forget that. But yeah, I love it, man. VCRs, they were like, I remember feeling so powerful when I had a brand new blank like VHS tapes to just record some shit with. I'm like, watch me put the St. Valentine's Day Massacre WWF pay-per-view on this fucking tape. I'm sending it to SLP so I can get it on one tape. The quality will be jank Arnold, but
right.
Is what it is.
Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, aka when Doritos come along, Jack must dip it. Though the flavor dust is strong, Jack must dip it. And the people say it's wrong, Jack must dip it. That is courtesy of Johnny Dickhead. Go easier on yourself, Johnny. And yeah, it's in reference to a revelation, something that slipped through my internal sensor at the end of last week. My internal sensor was exhausted, and I let slip that I do, in fact, dip Doritos in salsa. You know, I get messy. And yikes. It's...
That's
yikes.
I just pictured someone, you know what happened was, I just, as you were saying that, I was envisioning being at a party and someone taking a Dorito and dipping it in the salsa, and part of me goes, now you're getting the Dorito dust in the salsa.
I do this over the kitchen sink with the lights out at midnight. I love that. Only.
All right. No, not yikes.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Uh-oh. Hold on. Here we go. And no, I don't wear eyewear. Eyewear's unneeded since the doctor LASIKed me. Didn't get my corneas fried with lasers in my eyes just to wear glasses. Okay, shout out to Fighter of the Night, man. Yes, you hear it. You've heard it. My 2010 vision. Oh, my God. I didn't even tell. So I was in Oregon, right? Y'all know I was in Oregon. Mm-hmm. I went out to the Columbia River Gorge. I could see... I could see so well. I was for the, it has been a long time since I've been like overwhelmed by the sight of natural beauty, but this time I was like, oh my God, I could count trees if I wanted to from where I'm standing. it's an unreal experience to go from glasses to no glasses.
Was the Oregon of it all like important to the story? Because like here you can only see, like, it's all fogged up by,
yeah, it's
by
all the smog. Yeah. What do I do? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I can see there's a fire out in Thousand Oaks. Like, nah, I'm not. That's not as beautiful as the Columbia River.
You've
Gorge,
become an sorry. Amateur fire spotter.
Yeah, exactly. Just get me up in a plane, coach. I can spot him from anywhere. They're like, we just have phone lines for that. People usually call it in.
Did left eye have a good left eye or a bad left eye? Or
that was just like a vibe.
It was just a vibe. Okay. Yeah. Because I feel like there was one point where she had glasses on that were like only... probably not corrective, but I did wonder if she had, like, it came from having a bad left eye, or
I mean,
or just,
yeah,
like, her left eye was like yours, just could see for miles and miles and kind of see the future.
Yeah, you know, a part of me thinks there could be a better name, but I thought she could, just because, remember, at first she had like a condom, like, yeah, hanging over her eye, and I was like, whoa, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I mean, that's good enough for me. Well,
oh, wait,
Miles.
No, I got it. It was, she was renamed Left Eye after a compliment from New Edition member Michael Bivens, who once told her he was attracted to her because of her left eye, which was more slanted than the right eye.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds like some low energy
toxic
game from Michael Bivens.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what? Yeah, I'm going to call you, I like your left eye better. Like, what? Get the fuck away from me. You like one of my eyes? Very specific, sir.
That does sound like some shit you would pick up in like a mystery the pickup artist's third unpublished book.
100%.
Just compliment one of their eyes. Mm-hmm. It adds mystery. Everyone's complimenting, you know, both eyes. You pick one and you explain why it's better. Anyways, grit turned into a great name for the artist, Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant comedian, writer, actor, who's written for and appeared on Comedy Central and ABC. His stand-up albums, The Blake Album, Stuffed Boy, Live from the Pandemic, all debuted at number one on iTunes and Amazon. And his album, 12 Years of Voicemails from Todd Glass to Blake Wexler, charted on Billboard. Ever
what?
Heard of it? Please welcome.
No.
The hilarious.
I never heard that.
The chaotic.
Oh, no.
Blake Wexler!
This is Blake Wexler, a.k.a. First we're gonna pod, then we're gonna cast, then we let it zite. Geist, let it zite. Wex gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you. Wex gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you. That was not from Paul Garaventa. I wrote it, but Paul's around, and I wish him the best.
Wex gonna give it to you, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
True.
That's
Wex
not
is
Paul
gonna
Garaventa.
Give it to you.
That, he did not write that. But
yeah, I feel like no other guest do I feel more in need of some like WWE entrance music where like Miles and I are just talking and then the music just like kind of breaks in. There's a sound of shattering glass and the music breaks in. And then everybody, like super producer Justin comes in and everyone's just shouting about how they can't believe that this music's playing.
God.
And that means that Blake Wexler is here.
But the entrance is like tragic. Like I'm being dragged by a horse like into the ring and I'm barely alive.
Oh my God.
Please, could somebody cut the rope that's attached to the horse.
It's you guys are like, oh no, we hear his music, because you know there's going to be like an insurance claim on your hands for like, my injuries that I suffered.
Oh no, he better be riding that horse outside the venue.
Oh no, it's Blake Wexler. This is actually really bad for us. This is not good for our financial security as a company, as an institution.
My personal injury attorney has his own entrance music as well. Where it's
like, oh god, Bill Lipschitz and. Oh no, it's Jacob and Ronnie. Oh fuck.
Yeah, I like
it's
also
partners in the law firm.
Just like yours starts. I like how you had the grr like DMX, but maybe yours is just like like slight weeping, like, oh shit.
Oh no.
It's the weeper. Yeah.
The grim weeper.
The grim weeper. Yeah. The slim weeper in the building.
Blake, how are you, though? Yeah. And all joking aside, and seriously, I don't want to hear another fucking joke for the rest of this podcast.
Not a problem.
I swear to God.
Get your shit together.
How are you doing?
I'm going to have to throw out all the hard copies of jokes that I had printed out. I don't read screens well. I'm doing good. I'm in Charleston visiting my parents.
Okay.
And we were talking before, very bizarre setup. In here, I have my computer resting on piles of tools, and there's a bunk bed in my dad's office for some reason. But I think it's a chaotic. You kind of see where the chaos is coming from. It's an inherited chaos, I guess.
Your parents have other roommates, or
they've been Airbnb-ing their home while they live here. Yeah, so to me and my sister, we split the bunk bed. We're in our 30s, so they've been it was just a bed that they held on to. And
like, is that your childhood bed?
It is. And I was going to say, the way you just said that, I was like, that sounds ridiculous. That's not true. But no, it is true. You were right. And I think what it is that we had a twin bed that can be used as a guest bed, but there's just another one on top of it, if that makes sense. So
the bed is
perfectly functional. It's the extra one that's on top of it, the double decker. That's weird.
That's luxury.
It is an embarrassment of riches, to be honest.
True. Yeah. Wait, they called it a twin bed. It's a quadruplet. They hacked the second bed on top, or like it was built for that, and they just are putting the second bed.
It was built for that, but it would look less strange if there was just one bed in the room. But it's a bunk bed, which is, you know, it really is tricky and complicated over here.
Maybe,
we're breaking
down boundaries. One day for the grandkids, they can maybe sleep in that bed. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid for keeping it, Blake.
Not subtle in the least bit, the message that it is sending you.
Yeah, maybe your father and I are real dumb fucking idiots for thinking that could happen. I don't know. Are we, honey?
There's like 80 pillows with different name options like on the bed as well. It's like, oh, geez. All right. Now you've really crossed the line.
Like, I'm not going to name my kid Ramson. What is that even?
Whoa, you came really close to saying my kid's name, bro.
I was actually thinking of a guy I went to elementary school with.
Ramson?
Yeah.
Son of a ram.
Yeah.
Ramson.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
starting to make sense.
Wait, you know Ramson?
Yeah. Ramson's good peoples.
Yeah. Hard headed, but good guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Named after the Mel Gibson film. Mel Gibson Flim is how we're pronouncing that.
No, that's true.
Named after the Mel Gibson film.
Ramson.
And they just missaid it. Yeah. Anyways, Blake, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Fine. First, we're going to tell the listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're talking about the January 6th committee has their big, you know, must-see TV debut on Thursday night. Primetime, baby. Here we go. So we're going to talk about that. They have hired a former president of ABC News as a consultant to like help them put it together. So I think we're good. I think we're in good shape here.
They're fucked.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about just the general challenge of trying to reach humans in these United States. We're going to talk about how the Republicans who were involved in the coup seem to be doing these days. We are going to talk, of course, about the only thing that was on anyone's mind this weekend, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee.
Oh,
yeah. 70 years.
Heck yeah.
Doing whatever it is she does.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a hologram-ish thing, like people know it as a hologram. Apparently, it's not technically a hologram.
Hologram's but, generous
yeah,
for the technology that was used.
Yeah, it's technology from the 1600s, I believe. All of that, plenty more. But first, Blake, what is something from your search history?
Something from my search history is actually something you guys can search later. It was, I had a great joke a few minutes ago where I said my bed was two twin beds stacked on top of each other and it was a quadruplet bed. So I do want to say you can Google that later. That's a joke that I did a few minutes ago. And if you want to relive it again, that's, you know, you can partake at home. But my own Google search is Floyd Landis is a funny one from my recent search history where I've become obsessed with him. And if you don't know who he is, he was the basically Lance Armstrong's second, you know, the second best cyclist during that era, and then snitched on him for taking steroids, and then was taking steroids himself, and then also got booted out of cycling. And there's nothing I like more than a snitch and a hypocrite named Floyd is sick also.
Yeah.
And a hairline also that, like, base, there's no space on the forehead between eyebrow and hairline. Like, the man is gifted.
It's low. Yeah.
It is real low. And it's and getting lower by the second. It's, and gravity's pulling it down. But I have this bit now where I keep sending pictures of Floyd Landis to people when, you know, like, just randomly where, and it started from my fiance's uncle is a big fitness guy, and he like swam in the Olympics for Israel, just a huge athlete. He's in his 50s and he great guy, but loves to brag about how athletic he is. And he showed me on his Strava app, he goes, he lives in Aspen, and it said like the top 10 hikers on this hike in Aspen. And he goes, he was number 4. And then he goes, look at number 7. And it was Lance Armstrong. And to fuck with him, I was like, yeah, that's like really, really cool. He's, you know, Lance was no Floyd Landis. And the guy snapped and he goes, are you fucking kidding me? Like, he couldn't handle the Floyd Landis comp. So now I'm obsessed with Floyd. And that was that's my Google search that lets you know. I'm a cyclist myself. So
I just kind of look into that beef, I'm like, what was going on here? And I just Googled someone, like, there was a thing is like, what does like Lance Armstrong think of Floyd Landis? And here's a clip from that 30 for 30 that came up recently.
Yeah. Hey, could be worse. I could be Floyd Landis.
What, living in Leadville?
Or waking up a piece of shit every day.
So this
not
is
a guy to let a grudge go.
Yeah, this is a documentary where he's trying to like redeem himself, I think. It was the idea, and be like, hey, I'm a human too. And but he openly holds a grudge against the guy who like made his whole operation like fall apart, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And everybody else. He's just an asshole, like it, which was almost refreshing in a way where, oh, this guy can't even for an hour, 45 minutes with other interviews pretend to be a good, well-balanced human being.
Like Michael Jordan managed.
Yeah, Michael Jordan made it, and he's notoriously like one of the hardest humans to get along with.
And he actually even cried and made us be like, oh, wow, I kind of get the guy who has like no mood except victory in his brain.
Guy couldn't even come in top 5 on the Aspen hike.
Shut like, up, Lance. Fucking Herb. Get out of here. Get
it does feel
here.
Like the sort of thing that he would spend up to and maybe even over $1 million to have suppressed the fact that he came in 7th on that hike.
Oh, yes. Like 100%. Strava is in the middle of a huge lawsuit right now. Trying
now,
to have that.
I'm almost curious, like, can you buy like a count, like look at all the hikes Lance Armstrong does and then go on a mission to best him at every single place he goes?
And is coming in a place on a hike actually a thing? Or is this something that your friend or the person that in question made up? And we're all just like being like, yeah, no, that sounds about right. Because Lance Armstrong is in bike races where they keep track of who comes in what place.
Listen here, nephew. Let me show you my app that shows you how brolic my hiking skills are. You're like, why are you opening photos?
You see this incline? Do you see this incline right here?
This looks like a terribly photoshopped still of a made-up app you made. Nope, look at that. Your old
rock is
only printed on a cracker.
There's no such hike as the Spungos.
You see that stone right here? That's only found at 20,000 feet above sea level, close up of the stone. It's like, I don't know if this is.
And therefore, I came in fourth and Lance Armstrong came in seventh.
You're like, yeah, look at this hike I did casually. I did a 42,000 elevation hike in about 14 minutes. It's like, but Uncle, Mount Everest is like 29,000 feet. Just shut up, Blake.
I was lightheaded.
What is something you think is overrated, Blake?
Overrated, like going nuts with vacation eating, like when you're on vacation. Because in the past, I've always thought, okay, I'm on vacation. This is the time to unwind and do whatever. But even in the moment, it makes me not feel good. Like not even thinking about after vacation, you know, when you're trying to rebuild your daily schedule again and eat how you normally eat. In the moment, I'm like, I am too full to move. I like can't do these activities that I wanted to do.
My competitive hiking.
These right. I can't get up this hill in the in the time that doesn't exist on a level that it cannot be judged. But yeah, I think I realized I'd rather go a little crazy with food, but not so crazy. So like maybe change my normal eating like an animal, you know, meter 20%. Instead of 60% more than I usually
eat. Yeah, what are we talking here? What's your eating style? Are we talking Michael Phelps, you know, on race day? Like when he's bulking? Or are we just talking about, like, what, in your mind, what is the handbrake that you release?
I'm talking Chex Mix. I'm talking...
Bro, you just said, I'm going on vacation. Go, I'm eating Chex Mix like a fucking madman.
What if Chex Mix to the point of discomfort?
Yeah. The inside of my mouth completely raw from the Chex Mix.
I'm clearly like very insecure about my weight. And I brought this up to like make myself seem like, yeah, no, sometimes I'll have three apples on vacation.
I'm a wild man.
Yeah, I'll go nuts. We're just a half will do. And I usually just eat the core. From one whole, but no, I'll go like cheese steak and a half, you know, like for instance, my mom like is a great cook and she's like, Blakey, I made an extra cheese steak for you. And I'm like, oh, I'll eat that. But it's like, you don't, one is more than enough.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'm not where I don't pay rent here, so I can eat twice the sandwiches. And then
there you go.
It's a mess. I don't feel well. I can't work out. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. Well,
so I think it's okay to temper it back a little bit.
When I'm like, whenever I go somewhere, if there's like fried food anywhere, I'll have just eaten a meal and I'll go to another place. I'm like, well, hold on. They got these fried cheese curds. Let me try these out. And then Her Majesty will be like, you just fucking ate. And I'm like, I know, but I have to try these because I'm high. And right. I'm sorry.
Ed, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Where it's like,
no, absolutely not.
Technically have room in my stomach where I'm not gonna puke if I eat this. Yeah. And more meals in general. I did that same thing yesterday. I was like, oh, I'll have wings.
Yeah. Like, it's a good thing to bring to say out loud too when you're asking for a second helping is I'm not gonna puke if I eat this.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah.
That's where the bar is.
Wait, so then do you just want the check, sir? No, I'm good. I'm just telling you. I'm not going to puke if I eat
I know
this,
you're looking at me like, you know, all the sweat that's dripping down my nose might mean that I'm going to puke. I know my body. It's a temple.
I know it's 59 degrees in here right now, but I am so
Man, can you turn the air on? It's like there's ice coming out of the vents right now.
You are in our walk-in freezer, sir. This is as cold as we can possibly
I don't know how
it.
Much more we can accommodate a customer who just ordered another order of wings and now you're demanding to eat in our walk-in, but fine.
This is a different flavor. It's a different sauce, so it might as well be a different food.
Just got the rub. So it's I'm good. I'm good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Dodgers game for the first time in like 4-5 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Over the weekend and witnessed people putting away full batter's helmets full of nachos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those and helmets are big too, boy.
They fit on the head. They're like I've seen, you know, I grew up when Dairy Queen would do the like soft serve in a batter's helmet, but the batter's helmet was the size of a like coffee cup. Or
tiny
something.
Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you had Dairy Queen at your ballparks? We had in LA it was TCBY, I remember was the first.
No, it was a national yogurt. It was a national thing that happened probably when I was like five okay, or six, might have been before you were even born, where they were like serving soft serve in little batter's helmets across the nation, I believe, unless I've, you know, Mandela affected that, in which case, good luck this version of reality, because that's going to take over like wildfire.
And that queen, the Dairy Queen, no holograms. That,
no
that
holograms.
Queen, always in person.
Yes, always.
And is
always
aged right significantly there. Better.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk about what's underrated.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we're back. And Blake Wexler, we do like to ask you, what is something you think is underrated?
What if I just like thought I had to hold my breath in between the break and your next question? To be, I don't think we said that at all.
My wish is going to come true. My wish is going to come true, though.
Sorry, I just drove by a cemetery. Yeah. So I would say under. Did you guys do that when you were kids? Hold your breath when you drove by a cemetery? Was that a thing?
Nah, just the tunnels.
Just the tunnels.
Which, yeah, we did both. And I have, for some reason, just this is like a good, it was a good lesson for me on like how dumb shit gets passed down through the generations is like you just run out of things to talk about with your kids. And so I have, not only did I do that growing up, and then like after my childhood be like, that was the dumbest thing. Why would my parents have like told me to hold my breath? And then sure enough, like we're driving by a cemetery and I'm like, anything to prevent these kids from asking me questions about death. You know, if you hold your breath for whatever, you get a free something.
Wait, what is that? So funny. That's just a park with a bunch of rocks in the same shape lined up like that. Just hold your breath now.
That's a climbing wall that toppled over. Yeah. And that's what we're looking at right now. Why are there names on it for the best climbers?
Dad, you're drifting out of the lane. Can you start breathing again, please?
Yeah. But underrated kind of has to kind of go with what we were talking about before in terms of like temperature changes, but bringing a change of clothes somewhere is so underrated, in that maybe there's a vibe change where it's later in the night, you know, maybe you're dressed up for an event and then you can slip into something casual, you know, and also it's like accident proof, where if you spill something on yourself later in the night, it's like, oh, I can change. I can, you know, you don't have to worry about these ice cream helmets and the drippings at Dodgers games. Or that's where I always bring
your
three jerseys.
Like, honey, put the helmet on when you're finished with the food, at least. Nah, it looks cool. At least they know that I got it at the ballpark just
done.
Now.
And then you have to shout done and then slam it on your head.
On your fucking head.
And then you're not done. Not even close.
Nacho cheese all over your shoulders. Yeah. You're like,
it's a more upsetting version of the wave, where you just, throughout the whole ballpark, you just hear done, 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 done. Helmet slamming and cheese splatter. But yeah, and it also, you know, say the temperature changes. You're in LA. That's a big thing, where when I would go to Dodgers games, you'd get there, it would be 80 degrees, and then by the seventh inning it was, you know, like 59 degrees, and you would have to, yeah, so always I would always bring like some jeans or some pants, some breakaway pants I could pull over my shorts, and a little hoodie over there. So
And wow. Then do you keep them like tied around your neck like a tennis sweater? Like, how, what are you doing with those jeans pants when you're not wearing them?
Like, I'm in an overbearing father. I would bring a bag, like a plastic bag, or, you know, like a disposable bag.
Wow.
And then that way, not a reusable, unfortunately. I know it's not good for the environment, but I would bring one where I could just walk away clean out of the arena without. Yeah.
It's like this. I'm out, folks. My shift's over. I'm your dealer. Yeah. I'm out.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
I got real nervous walking through the metal detector at Dodger Stadium for no reason. I don't like have anything, but it's just like,
you don't got anything on you, man.
I had gum in one of my pockets, right, and they were like, take all your like all metal things, your phone, like anything out of your pocket. Went through the thing, and I think I was like fiddling with the gum in my pocket just because I was like, oh shit.
Nervous.
Didn't take it all out. And like a cop stopped me and like really frisked me down and was like, you didn't take everything out of your pocket. That's why I'm giving you a hard time.
Damn.
I was like, they said everything metal.
Mm-hmm. Were you like, wearing a mask or something? Did he not know you were a white man?
I know. Mm-hmm. I might have been wearing a mask, but I was with my dad. So I don't know. Like, he's like right down the middle of like, you know, old.
You must have been fiddling, boy, in that pocket. Like, what were you doing? Were you doing that thing like Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible, where you're like, red, green, together? You're like, you know that explosive gum you had?
Oh, this guy's a problem.
This guy thinks he's got that Ethan Hunt gum. Red.
Whenever I get stopped at TSA, I always make a big show. I turn around to the rest of the line. I go,
a fan.
And then when they frisk me, I try to hand them a pen. But yeah, no, it's I hear you. It's stressful.
I hear you. Yeah, when they put you in that holding room for another 3 hours for wasting their time.
All right.
Let me guess. You heard the Todd Glass album too, huh? All right. All right.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Let me see if I can get Todd on FaceTime for you.
It's not even for me. It's for my friend. I have his number. Yeah. Hold on. He's not.
I would love if that really was the case, and you're like, no, I am a fan. Oh, really? Of Todd Glass?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh,
what's self esteem like? So low? I don't care. Like, yeah, of course. No, I'll put you in touch. Yeah.
And why do you like choose to like help you out, man? Like, I'm cooler than you. What?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
It's your biggest hater who works at TSA who's been following you because of this is jealousy of your relationship with Todd Glass. It writes itself. This story.
It does.
All right. I'd love to talk about this all day. Folks, mm-hmm.
Cool.
But we got to get to this
big
television event of the week. Mm. I'm talking, of course, about the House Committee on January 6th. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, they've hired James Goldston, formerly president of ABC News, according to Axios, a master documentary storyteller.
Oh, shit. So you got like Oscars?
No, he was the president or, you know, one of the producers on that Martin Bashir special where he interviews Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Sold.
What else?
That was the only thing I was really able to find. I don't know if I was, like, it was a very cursory search, but I did notice, like, you know, Axios likes to link off to things when they make a big claim. They weren't linking off to anything when they said that. He basically is a master at, like, getting people to watch soft news, like Good Morning America, like, shot to number one when he took that over. Nightline wasn't canceled immediately when he took that over, which was apparently what people thought was going to happen, because he went from Nightline with Ted Koppel telling one story a night, like a piece of in-depth news, to when he took over, it became more like bite-sized chunks of like different stories that could be on like one of those like murder things, mm-hmm. like kind of a true crime news type vibe. But in both cases, it seems like he's working knowledge of the American public TV viewing habits. So I don't know, but they're going to be televising like their findings. They're going to be, it's supposed to be a hearing, so they're going to presumably have some testimony.
Yep.
And
some pre-recorded bits. It's like probably. It sounds like a fucking award show.
Right.
Like, there'll be some live testimony. Then we're going to throw to the video package of Ivanka and Jared, totally self-incriminating. You won't believe what is going to come out of their mouths. That's like how I feel like all the write-ups about this have been written, like it's like the Super Bowl of fuckery. Mm-hmm. Like, get ready for the halftime show.
Yeah.
We got Benny Thompson ripping into Louis Gohmert type of shit.
It's, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that is true. Where it's like, it's their night in prime time. It's time. Yeah. You know, it's just, what is this?
The night the where all the stars sucks. Come out to shine and tell us what actually happened. It seems like a lot of the stuff people know is pretty damning already at this point. But
yeah, I'm right. And it's probably to be able to lay the groundwork, like, because like most people who saw what happened were like, okay, and right, like people who are planning this will now see consequences, that rather than like the people with the Viking helmets asking for kale in prison. Mm-hmm. Like, can we get the architects of this shit to get lined up for some accountability? And that seems like maybe this whole point is just to lay it all out so someone be like, damn, they did that shit. But
yeah,
I feel like most people who saw it were like, damn, they're doing that shit is how we saw it play out. So I guess this is probably like this feel part of it is like, well, that way we can really help that like 40% of America or that 33% of America that's like all in on the Trump, you know, big lie stuff. That's like, it's undeniable at this point, but you don't need to convince them. They're not going to be convinced.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like Liz Cheney saying, do you believe, somebody asked her, do you believe it was a conspiracy? She said, right. I do. It is extremely broad. It's extremely well organized. It's really chilling. So, I mean, that's what they need to prove.
It's still active, I think, is what you went on to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll be really interesting to see some like this kind of shit that they have, like testimony, hearing it from people's mouths and like all these things where, you know, again, there's plenty that we could infer from what we saw, but, you know, to try and begin to say like, and this is this person, these are the calls that were made, this is what Donald Trump said, I'm sure will just make us feel more safe, I hope, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point of this?
This is a silly question, but is Fox going to air this or... is it?
They're going to air the rebuttal. They already have like the conservative politicians lined up to air the rebuttal. Good. So at least they're treating it like it's an event.
At least they're responding to it. And yeah, that it exists. Right. They're acknowledging its existence. That's a start.
There is going to be like massive counter programming because they know all of the regular news channels are going to cover it. And they're like, well, we can't not say it and have our viewers start straying off to CNN to be like, what did Ivanka say? And then she's like, no, pay attention to that. This is what's really going on, man. Screw them.
In every local market, they CGI like that city's football team into a Super Bowl against their biggest rival and play it that night. Like,
Are never going to believe this. They've decided to redo the Super Bowl.
What? Raiders versus Seahawks? Mm-hmm. I'm in. There's just like one other thing I want to talk about with like the TV rollout of this hearing. Like, you know, last week we were talking about the, like, these pieces coming out of the White House or interviews with people in the White House and aides who are saying, oh man, we're just, Joe Biden is so like frustrated that he can't get the people to see like what he is doing. What could he possibly do more? And these articles kind of go on this week to sort of talk about like the communication gap that's happening, where they're trying to say like how the big issue is to get the people to know what we are doing, because right now the only thing that's dominating is what we aren't doing. And a few of these things really underline a very important fact, which is they have people in their 70s and 80s who are used to this very normal method of, well, ring up ABC, and then they play that on TV, and everyone who watches the TV goes, did you see what the TV said? It says Joe Biden's doing this thing. That's cool, huh? Right. And that worked decades ago. But now that's why they have BTS at the White House, because they're right. Like, we have to find a way to get through to shit somehow. What do we do? And again, the whole issue here is that you have these septuagenarians trying to figure out how millennial and Gen Z voters think. And I can't think of putting someone in a worse like challenge in their professional life. Be like, okay, someone in their 70s, convince millennials and Gen Z that you know what is even occurring in the world. Because I feel like we have to explain so much shit to our parents, like basic shit. Like, my parents are smart enough to know, like, oh yeah, like shit's bad, like this, that, and the other. But there's a lot of things that they don't understand, like culturally, like with younger people, how we think about things or what our actual goals and aims are. And just thinking of these people scratching their heads being like, what are we gonna do? My heart really goes out to them. And I'm like, yeah, this is why it's all, I think we're seeing it all kind of come together at once. But anyway.
Yeah. Come apart at once. I feel like, yeah. If they were responsive to younger people and like advisors, and actually, I just feel like that is not this generation's kind of approach to things. And
no,
they're gonna
be patronizing your shit. Like, honestly, I feel like the most understanding I feel like I've got from someone who was in their 70s and like isn't in my family was like when talking about like, you know, generational struggles and things, where they'd be like, yeah, I read a lot about what's happening with millennials and Generation Z. And it seems like things are a lot harder for younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best thing to do is seems. And those are the people who are now being like, how do we tell them we know what's going on? It's like, it's a bit of a tough spot for you.
Did you print those Generation Zeitgeist shirts that you told me about that you guys were going to put out and sell? Gen Z, it was going to say Gen Z, and then Eitgeist was going to be very small.
Yeah, exactly. With like,
did you print
Pikachu
them?
With a bunch of, no, I tried.
We're actually working on a large broad campaign with a bunch of advertising on Fox News next to the catheter ads for our Generation Zeitgeist shirts.
That's
and
perfect.
We feel like they're going to sell like hotcakes, which Gen Z also loves.
Well, you have a customer.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. And so, I mean, I am curious to know, like, a couple weeks ago, 1 week ago, my brain doesn't work like that anymore, where I can understand how much time has passed since a given thing has happened. But
sure.
Between 1 year and 1 week ago, all of the Trump lackeys who were just generally like making a jerk offhand motion in the direction of the January 6th committee were subpoenaed, and yeah. That seemed like it was like, all right, asshole, we're at no more Mr. Nice Guy, here we go, we got you right where we want you. Like, so is that what this is? Are we going to like now hear from them at this primetime event, or what are they up to?
So, you know, I don't know who's going to, I haven't seen fully who is going to speak and whose testimony that they're going to air, but
they should issue like one of those things like the Coachella like set list where it has like all the names,
lineup,
like, the big ones up top, and then like it gets lower and lower. Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, Trump's headlining. And then it's like Kanye's like, but he wanted them to apologize to Travis Scott or he wouldn't perform.
Ronald Reagan's hologram comes in.
Yeah, exactly. So Peter Navarro, right, who he was, you know, a Trump economic advisor / lackey and like friend of the coup, who has played his cards like all the other Republicans who have been subpoenaed, which is like just deny everything, keep your head low and just like, you know, fucking ignore it. And like you're saying, we were all looking at this like, what is the fucking point of subpoena power if they just like look at it, fart on it and then carry on with their day? And it's just like, I thought this was as serious as you're telling us it is. So things have taken a turn. Now, I don't know what it all means, but the appearance is certainly different because Peter Navarro actually was indicted and arrested by the FBI and put in a fucking cell over the weekend as he tried to fly from D.C. to Tennessee because he was, again, ignoring a subpoena. And if you recall, this guy had the most intense, like, I'm a white guy, I can get away with anything energy that we've seen in a while. Like, he talked about his plan to rat fuck the election in his book. There's like a whole section called like the Green Bay Sweep that he's talking about. And then
the Green Bay Sweep.
Yes, yes. He's that confident about talking about like how he could get sham electors in Wisconsin, etc., to try and swing the votes.
Wow.
That's in his book that he was selling. Then he would also go on MSNBC and just like literally describe the coup. I'm pretty sure we covered this when he first said it because it was so unbelievable. He was talking to Ari Melber, basically said like, yeah, and then we get that. We use the power of like the votes that we have in Congress to overturn the ruling, and then we can declare President Trump the president. I'm just going to play you this part where Ari Melber's like, hold on, what? And just so you can see Peter Navarro being like, what? Like right after he describes him saying, you're talking about a coup, sir.
Let's go this back and forth, sir. Then you will use the incumbent losing party's power. That was the Republican Party that was losing power to overtake and reverse that outcome. Do you realize you are describing a coup?
No, I totally reject many of your premises there. First of all, the election was still in doubt and would be until it was certified. Second, the idea that secretaries of state, particularly in Michigan and Pennsylvania, were like innocent parties. I mean, Jocelyn Benson. And
so he just goes on, and you can tell from his body language, he's like selling you bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Know?
He's like, also standing, which is like unnerving for some reason. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
He always stands.
It's upsetting. As someone who's standing right now, it is a bummer to look at.
Using his whole body. Yeah.
That was his energy when he was like, this is the plan to overthrow the government. So then I just want to check on his energy. Let me see what it was like after the feds pulled up and locked you up. How are you talking now? Are you still you still big time?
Instead of coming to He's my present. Door where I live, which, by the way, is right next to the FBI, instead of calling me and say, hey, we need you down at court, we've got a warrant for you, I would have gladly come. What did they do? They intercepted me getting on the plane, and then they put me in handcuffs, they bring me here, they put me in leg irons, they stick me in a cell. By the way, just historical note, I was in John Hinckley's cell. They seem to think that that was like an important historical note. Okay, that's punitive. That what they did to me today violated the Constitution.
My man, what the fuck did you want? They'd be like, "Hey, it's the FBI. Like,
oh my God,
you
want to come? How are
Can we
you?
Invite you over for jail real quick?"
Also, isn't that what the subpoena is that he was ignoring? Isn't that the one where
I think
you're
that's what
inviting
means.
Them down?
Well,
to...
well, that's my right to refuse it. No, it's no.
That's this is the whole point. Yeah.
You're moving into you were in the fuck around stage, and now you're in the find out stage, and you're doing this thing like, I can't believe what they're doing. You know, you could tell you can tell his hair's like not done. He's frazzled, and this clearly has sent a lot of shockwaves through like the GOP, because a lot of people were like, I thought we could do that, but Peter Navarro's ass. Yeah, it was truly on some, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't know I couldn't do that. and Trump, for example, after this happened, he came out with a fucking quote, just like a quotable for people to know where he was, where he stood on all of it. He goes on to say, quote, our great trade genius, Professor Peter Navarro. Shut up, fool. Was just handcuffed, shackled, and put in jail while the lowlifes of Antifa and BLM are allowed to rip off the public, roam free on the streets, kill people, and destroy our once great cities, all run by Democrats, in a parenthetical. Okay. Not only that, you had fucking Louis Gohmert, the least smart person in D.C. until maybe Herschel
the
Walker
dullest
ends up
of
winning.
Tools in the drawer. Yeah.
Louis Gohmert is just out here saying the best shit. This is Louis Gohmert, again, another person who's got a little mixed up in a little coup behavior. This is him talking about, oh, this is unbelievable what's happening. Peter Navarro got arrested for defying a subpoena. This is what he has to say.
It actually puts an exclamation point on the fact that we have a two-tier justice system. If you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent, or they're coming after you. They're going to bury you. They're going to put you in the D.C. jail and terrorize and torture you and not live up to the Constitution there. However, this comes on the heels of Sussman being acquitted.
Okay, anyway, go on to say, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent, or they're coming after you.
That's amazing.
John Hinckley's ghost tickled that poor man in that cell with his irons.
What is going on? Let them lie. On?
That's amazing.
You can't even lie anymore.
There's a two-tier justice system. True.
Yeah, no shit.
And his example is when you're a GOP. I mean, that is a great illustration that a Republican politician believes that it's unjust that they can't even lie to Congress. That's a great illustration of just how two-tiered the justice system is, that they don't even like have a concept of what a justice system does to. Wow. That's so, yeah, I guess there is. I mean, more than two tiers, but it's not what you thought, man.
Yeah, it's probably tense at the Gohmert dinner table when he's out here saying things like, you can't even lie to fuck the FBI anymore without shit happening to you.
I can't even cheat on my goddamn wife anymore without that sack of bricks opening its mouth.
Although, actually, Louis Gohmert has never cheated on his wife or gotten a speeding ticket
or smoked a cigarette
in his life, according to the fucking. Oh, wait, no, that was Mo Brooks.
That's
sorry,
Mo Brooks, man. Louis Gohmert so proudly cheats on his wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Louis Gohmert, the congressman side piece, as he's known.
Mm. All right, we should talk about the Queen's platinum jubes.
Finally.
Because it happened over the weekend. 70 years of excellence by Her Majesty. Just, you know, going out there doing queen stuff.
Queen shit.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, queen shit.
Queen shit.
Yeah, so last week she canceled one of the appearances at the service due to some discomfort, presumably a side effect of being roughly 1,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And so for that part of the Jubilee, they replaced her with a digital image inside of an antique golden carriage. It's not the highest of quality digital images. It does look like they've just stuck a tiny TV in there. I don't know if like seeing it live made it look more three-dimensional, but people, I mean, this created a whole bunch of maybe our dumbest conspiracy theories of the weekend. We haven't, you know, done the official count, but possibly the dumbest ones from the past like 5 days, because people were like, they were trying to fool us. What more do you need to see to understand that she's dead? First of all, that they're trying to control us with holograms, that they're trying to get us ready for a future where we are not allowed to die, and instead our consciousness is uploaded into a universe where we are hologram work slaves. Like, do I even need to spell this out for you? Like,
you lost me with the first bit, but you got me with the second one.
You hung around and he you're glad you did.
Never ending mental labors for the digital economy. Okay. Wait, yeah. So they're trying to, but did the palace say like, yo, you know, we're just going to be projecting. She's not in there, but we want people to get their jollies.
It was a projection from her coronation in 1953.
Right. It's clear that's not Queen Elizabeth.
If it was intended as a deception, like being 70 years off seems like a pretty major fuck up.
But that's how like the conspiracy brain people think. They go, oh my God, they think they could get that one past me.
Yeah.
That's her as a fucking kid. She's dead. That's what's happened. All right.
The hologram was so bad. It looked like one of those old baseball cards you would get when if you like turned it slightly, it was like, has the bat swung it. It was like one of those things.
Easy. Yeah. That like where it was also like that like prismic, like it was cut like rigid. Those like lines. Yeah, exactly. I remember I would always scratch them as a kid.
I was about to say same thing, but I didn't want to come off as weird.
No, I was doing the same thing. And I was going to say that looking at that carriage window, I'm like, it's one of those scratchy hologram cards. I would have been scratching on the window. Be like, let me feel these ridges in here. This ain't no real noise, queen. Like, yeah. I remember you said annoy the fuck out of my parents.
Do you guys remember the one where Jordan was Sportsman of the Year and they did a hologram of just him on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. That was my my first real encounter with hologram technology.
With that technology.
And that's when I knew the New World Order was coming for me.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Sorry, but we were saying about the Queen, the real New World Order. Sorry.
So, but first of all, these aren't holograms.
These are fucking videos.
Yeah, it's just a stage illusion called, what is it, like Pepper's Ghosts or something? Yeah, named Peppa for John Pig. Pepper, a British. Peppa Pig is how some people pronounce it. But
Salt and it, Peppa's Ghosts.
It's the same thing they use for Tupac. It's like a stage thing that just is, I don't know exactly how they do it, but it's been around since the 16th century. And
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So about as old as that gold cart she rode in on.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. That thing is so... I'm sorry. That I've never seen something more opulent. And why would I? Because it's like the carriage that would, you know, carry the monarch of the United Kingdom.
Right.
The British Empire in it. But that much gold, family? What the fuck? It's
so gotta
be
gold.
All gold. Like, whenever you see them at, like, any kind of official thing and they sit in their chairs and shit and they're like, that's all gold. I'm like,
right.
Dollars. Real.
But we need something the size of an SUV that's also all gold and pulled by like horses that are also all gold.
It resembles one of those old trees that, you know, like they're 700 years old and their roots are like above ground and like, you know, kind of snaking through, but dipped in gold.
Right. Yeah.
It's also just, I mean, this is maybe the most predictable thing about humanity is that we don't deal well with death, that we like just cannot, because, you know, it's a thing that is hard to wrap your mind around. The human brain is not capable,
especially
really,
Western culture.
Yeah, Western culture for sure. And so, I mean, you know, the Beatles, like everybody was, they picked the one guy who was going to survive into his 90s and they were like, that dude's actually dead. Sorry.
Right.
He died when he was 26 in a car accident. They've been trying to fool you. Like Elvis was dead. They couldn't believe he was dead. Tupac, same thing. Like we can't deal with it. Like it's going to keep happening. I think there's some stuff in the Bible about someone who was supposedly dead and then, but yeah, it's we're,
but that sneaky guy managed to pull up in a cave a couple of days later, huh? I think Lazarus was faking it though.
Oh, for sure.
He wasn't dead. He was sleeping.
Have you met Lazarus?
Yeah, Lazarus always like, I'm dead. It's like, no, you're not Lazarus. You waiting for somebody to resurrect you, and then all you're going to talk about is how Jesus resurrected you. I had enough of Laz.
When you were playing dead as a kid, did you ever go undead? Like that was how you signaled to your friends that you were dead you were playing dead?
Well, how are we playing dead? Is this like a cops and robbers kind of thing? Like yeah, shooting finger guns at each other? And you're like, ah, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but that was like an official shorthand with me and my friends and my little sister.
Or like if it was tagged too or something, like, no, I'm dead. Like,
right.
Stop fucking with me. Like, I'm not a participant. I'm dead in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd start digging my own grave, which bummed everybody out in the middle of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Guys, I'm dead in 10 minutes.
Actually, can you get a garden hose? I feel like we could loosen this soil up. It's real dry. I think it'd be easier to dig if I just kind of got a little bit wetter.
Yeah, you might as well bury me because I'm dead. So yeah.
Actually, are you certified to use that backhoe I saw in your yard, or is that just your dad who use that? Because that would actually, we could do two scoops and I'm out.
It's not funny playing this game with you anymore. We're not enjoying this. It's like, need heavy machinery operators amongst children.
They're like, I'm certified. I can use it. I don't know if your dad's cool with it. I can show him my paperwork, but you know, I get it. You don't need job site accidents.
Yeah. Have you guys ever like been convinced by that? Like, felt the temptation to be like, I think that person faked their own death. Like, I feel like I was kind of like the Tupac thing kind of got me there for a little while.
I was 13.
Yeah.
And then also that beginning part in the Machiavelli album, which says, Trick Shot Tupac. And you're like, wait, what the fuck?
What the?
You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was like OG, like LA conspiracy theory shit, where they're like, man, if you listen to the Machiavelli album, it's fucking rife with messages and shit.
Yeah.
To your point, it is always, this is the first one where it was an old person, where it's always someone who died prematurely or died young, you know, where here, if she could just be dead, like she's old, you know,
right.
And it's a very strange thing to pick up on. But here, I think any famous person, that's what your thought is, because like you said, it's hard to accept. death and wrap your mind around it. So why not have an easy explanation that makes everybody happier? I think everyone faked their own death. I think everyone's still alive.
Everyone in the whole world. Yeah. Just hold your breath while you're going by cemeteries and the truth will appear to you. And
your whole life is just passing out, waking up, holding your breath.
Next to a cemetery.
Waking up. Yeah. I got to get past the cemetery or I'm going to die.
Blake Wexler, as always, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good shit?
The pleasure is all mine. I have a podcast called Blake's Takes for God's Sakes, and I free associate improvise. It's like my mania on this, but without my respect for you two that's holding me back in some sort of way. So it is a mess. It's been hailed as a mess. And then also at Blake Wexler on all social media. And I have a podcast coming out with the Philadelphia Eagles this summer called Feeding the Birds. I'm the co-host of that. So
Shit.
I don't have a date yet, but that'll come out. It's a fun one. And I'm doing stand-up around. So blakewexler.com/live-dates.
And wow, does the podcast involve you, like, breadcrumbs of any sort? Or it's just like feeding the birds with the information they crave?
It's that is a very good point. So it is breadcrumbs in that it's a mystery. It's a whodunit where I follow the breadcrumbs of a missing loaf that was taken from the Eagles cafeteria. And Jalen Hurts started complaining that it was gone. So it's more of a mystery podcast. No, it's that's a good question. It's the intersection of like football and food as a podcast. So we talk to former Eagles alumni, former football players who have opened their own vineyard, and now they have interests outside of football. So you kind of see how people translate into other jobs and categories. It's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. You got Ron Jaworski on there?
Oh, the Polish pistol?
Yeah.
He was a Ram, right?
It's funny. I was thinking of just the other, when I was in Portland, I saw somebody wearing the Jaworski jersey. I was going to take a picture and send it to you because I thought of you. And then that's wild that you then just come out here and be like, I'm doing shit with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Love to see it. Go Eagles.
I'm very lucky. Yeah, it'll be good.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
There's an NFT. There is a tweet. There's an NFT I would like to describe to you in great detail.
Wexcoin. It's a stable coin.
It is. So it's Zach Fox is the Twitter account. And the tweet was, if I had to do population control, people who wear Chelsea boots getting sent up first. Bye.
Yeah.
Not a fan of those laceless boots.
Got him.
Tough shoe to pull off.
The Chelsea boot.
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a fan of those either.
I mean, you gotta, it had its moments. You could wear it. They're like too classy for me, I feel like. That's whenever I wear like leather shoes, I'm like, man, I look like I'm somebody's boss.
Right.
Like, give me my sneakers.
Okay, I know bank stuff. I don't want to look like I know about bank stuff.
I'm trying to be told I can't get into this Las Vegas nightclub because of my footwear.
I came with arguments. Right. I didn't want to just be waved in.
Miles, where can people find you? And what is the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball, Mad Boosties, Jack and I's basketball podcast, come check that out. We had Carl Tart on this latest episode. And the show rumbles on just like the finals do. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Megan Gailey. Shout out. So wild. I saw CJ and Megan out 2 weekends ago at a party. And I was like, ah, look at you. And it was great to see them in there and new parents. But Megan posted, at Megan Gailey posted this picture. She said, posted this on Instagram stories and is doing better than pictures of my newborn baby. It's a picture of a bag of goldfish, limited edition, Old Bay seasoned.
Oh, wow.
And that made, I would have been like, yeah, all right, enough with the fucking baby pictures, man. What the fuck is up with this Old Bay goldfish? That sounds like fantastic eating. Mm. Anyway, and then another one from Blair Saki, at Blair Saki, tweeted, lady next to me on this plane smells like milk. Not good. Like, whatever that milk scent is, I got it just from the not good. Thank you, Blair. Oh.
Yeah, just that milk right on the verge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm smelling.
Yeah.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. couple tweets. Henpicked Hal took me on an emotional journey with this one. If you serve your kids frozen pizza or chicken nuggets for dinner, you're a terrible parent. I don't care how busy you are. Find the time to microwave that shit. And that I was like, fuck, I am bad, aren't I? I'm the worst.
I'm bad for random Twitter account who I know nothing about them as parents.
Yeah. But then the end point, and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty quick. I could just add that to the end of feeding them frozen chicken nuggets and frozen pizza and easy fix. So thanks for the pointer. Eddie at Ezra R tweeted, in 1986, the American Physical Society booked 4,000 hotel rooms in the MGM Grand Hotel and cost the casino so much money that the APS was asked to never come back by the entire city of Las Vegas. The physicists didn't discover some genius gambling strategy. They just didn't play. Which, like, gotta love what a nightmare. Just openly, no. Like, the thing is, we rob you. Like, we take your money. That's how this works, assholes.
They're like, we know we're fucking physicists. Physicists. Like, you think we look at numbers all day and go, nope, bad idea. Right.
Anyways, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page.
Website,
dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we'd like you to go check out. Miles, what song do we think people should go check out?
This is a track by Onyx Collective, which is a New York band who, you know, plays like their kind of nebulous form of jazz, funk, reggae, kind of multi-genre type people. They're very fluent on their instruments. And this track is called My Favorite Things, and it's just got a nice, like, you know, Rudy dub sound to it. So some nice music. This is Onyx Collective with My Favorite Things.
By the way, Blake, you have no idea how far you are to throwing me off and making me just start the entire show over again when you said Instagram instead of footnotes.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
What Hannah texted me. He said, what the fuck? What time is it? Where are we in the show?
What the fuck is he doing?
Why?
Why is he doing this to me?
The fuck does it have to be me?
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.